Hello and welcome everyone. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the co-founders here at InventRite. We're going to be interviewing one of our InventRite coaches, Scott Putnam. We're going to talk to him a little bit about himself, why he's an InventRite coach, what it's like to be an InventRite coach, a lot of the issues that come about while he's an InventRite coach, things he's helping his students with that they have issues with, and how he helps them in some of those areas. So I think you're going to find it very, very useful, whether or not you ever become an InventRite student or not. This information is going to be useful, and you'll just love Scott because everybody loves Scott. He's a great guy. So,
thanks, man. Big hugs.
So Scott, why did you become an InventRite coach? How did you become an InventRite coach? And what motivates you to stay an InventRite coach? Because you've been with us for a long, long time.
Yeah.
How long have you been with us?
Man, it was 7 years in October.
In October, okay. Yeah, I was thinking like eight. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be eight this coming October. And,
cool.
My journey was interesting. We lived in China for a couple of years and we came back to the Midwest. Actually, we weren't here before, but we came to the Midwest because there was some family illness. So we were taking care of my in-laws. And I was still an InventRite student living in China. And with you, Andrew, just keeping in touch and emails.
Oh, you're outing me. I was your coach, huh?
Yeah.
You're probably a better coach than I ever was. Yeah,
you were great. You had a lot of students. you were great. You held my feet to the fire really well. And you only yelled at me, I think, once. So that was...
Yeah, I did. I did once. I did. I got mad at him once, which is very unlike me. But I swear. But you guys don't have to worry about that. I don't do the one-on-one coaching anymore. I'll help with negotiations and stuff. So you get somebody great like Scott. So why did you become an InventRite coach? What was intriguing to you about it? And then we'll get into the things you help students with, and I think they're going to learn a lot there.
Yeah, you know, for me, it was always something that has been my passion to help people. I love motivating people and getting them fired up to approach and take some action toward their own hopes and dreams. Because I think we're bombarded with so many negative things, and you watch the news, and pretty soon people can take on a little bit of a doom and gloom mindset, or at least that's circling, right?
Sure.
So to have somebody that's been there and done that and say, hey, you have a great product, you can do this. I know it might seem daunting, but we can help you. I just love seeing them light up. That lights me up. That motivates me to keep going and keep doing it. Just helping people achieve success and really watch them change their mindset. I'm all about trying to instill a lot of positive expectations right from the beginning, so they expect things to happen.
And you help such a wide array of members. I mean, we have everybody from housewives to astrophysicists doing everything from a gag novelty gift to a medical device that saves lives, people with no business background to people with an extreme business background. So it's a wide range of people. And do you see yourself making a difference with all those people, but in different ways? Do they have different places where they're weak or they're strong?
Yeah. You know, that's another thing that is, for me, is the exciting part of the job, is like meeting people from all over the world, getting to know them, helping them. And I'm honored to work with the people that I work with. I'm humbled by their creativity and their experience. And there's so many amazing stories of what people have done. And I'm always curious about what people feel like is going to be their hang up, and then what actually is their hang up, because sometimes it's different.
Yes, very much so. Give me one example, because I think getting into you talking about coaching your students is going to help a lot of people. Oh, that was me. Yeah, and maybe we'll help them get over something. So give me one example of something where they thought this was a big issue, but you're like, you should be focusing over here. That's probably more common than not, is my guess.
Yeah. For some people, it's just picking up the phone and calling companies,
sure,
you know, and having that fear of failure. Other people, it's more about, oh, I'm going to be filing my own PPA. How am I going to do that? That sounds scary. That's like attorney stuff. I think a lot of the time where I see a lot of people start to like slam on the brakes is when it's time to pick up the phone and do
Yeah.
outreach.
Or
And
not even picking up the phone. I mean, even just sending an
LinkedIn.
email or a LinkedIn message.
Yeah. So doing the outreach, and it's a
Yeah.
spectrum of ways to get in touch with companies. And I've had seasoned salespeople that are like on the first call, they're like, man, that part's going to be easy for me. I have no problem at all. I've been doing that for 20 years. But it's different when it's your product,
Yeah.
it's your baby. And now it's like, oh, there's this new element that can show up that's fear.
Well, and for the first time in the process, they have an opportunity for to get feel rejected in some way.
Yeah, exactly. I describe it like all of the steps up until the point where you do your outreach to companies are kind of like driving in a car where you're on the streets. There's street signs, it's very organized, it's neat, there's a path that's very clear.
Huh.
When you start reaching out to companies, it's like, okay, we're now off road a little bit. Like there's a path,
I've
but
never
maybe a
heard you
little.
say that before. That's fascinating.
Yeah. Which is it's exciting, but you're right, it is the first time that there's a chance where somebody is not gonna like your product. I mean,
Right.
hopefully they all love it, but we don't know till we start pitching it. So I do see people that have seasoned sales background come back and go, I don't know why this is hard for me. I'm like, oh, well, it's because it's your product that your baby, it came out of your head, right? And your heart versus the company you work for. It's less personal.
And I think the reason why we have so much success, or members have so much success, and our coaches have so much success getting our members to license products, is because you're right there with them while they're going through that. And
Yeah.
they're not like by themselves, kind of like what I call what-ifing themselves to death. Oh, what if they say this? What if they say that? You're like, they can say that to you all day long. You'd be like, well, then you do this, then you do that, then you do that. And they're like, oh, crap, I don't have any reason not to do it now. Damn it.
Yeah, exactly. No more. You run out of things that'll let you off the hook. But
And they
that's
know you got their back. Can you talk a little bit about that? How do you have your students back?
On the first call, I use the analogy that, hey, we're both climbing the mountain together. You get the heavy backpack and I have the map. So I'm doing more guiding, supporting. Hey, that path, I know it looks really good, but there's actually a bear cave at the end of it. So we want to go this way, and here's why.
I am
And
having flashbacks of Dora the Explorer from when my 11-year-old daughter was younger.
we watched that
Are
show
you
too.
the are, and you're the map and they're Dora, huh? No, I'm just being silly.
Yeah, I guess so. But for them, it's on the job training. I'm
Yeah.
like, you'll be rolling up your sleeves, you're doing the work. That it's the best way to learn something is just to get in there and do it. And I'm with you on the journey. So when you have questions, when you feel stuck, I'm here. Send me
Yeah.
an email anytime. We'll set up regular coaching calls and let's talk through those things that could be sticking points so we can get you to your goals.
Right. That's amazing. Some of the fears that people have when they're trying to get started is they're afraid to get started, right? But obviously, if they sign up, now they're forced to get started because they're going to do that long first call with you and then call every week and email whenever they need. Or they're afraid of not doing everything right. So I think that that is kind of fixed because you're going to make sure they do it right. You give them the confidence where they're not like set. They could read our book, One Simple Idea. They could watch a YouTube show, but they're like, ah, but does that apply to my product? And are you giving them a sense of certainty? Like for your product, yes, it's the right thing to do here and there.
I think for me, I've been at it so long. It sounds horrible, but like I've worked with hundreds
You
of
have.
students.
Oh,
All
yeah.
the coaches are awesome. There's such an amazing team of people. I've either pitched in a lot of different categories, or I've worked with somebody in probably just about every category under the sun. So I've had some
Yeah.
experience, a very wide breadth of experience. But in the beginning, I think one of the big reasons people sign up is because they don't want to make a bunch of mistakes that are going to cost them a lot of time and a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's where the guide is such a key thing. And perfectionism, people get into
Yeah.
that, like, if I can't do it perfect, I don't want to do it at all. And it's like, especially engineering students, the way their mind is wired. It's like when you get into the marketing stuff, it just sounds kind of like fluff. But it's like there's, trust me, there's a method to the madness. Just keep moving forward, you will get there.
Is it a challenge to take creative people? I mean, I would say half of our students at least have some sort of ADHD or something like that. It just comes with creativity, right? I don't like using that term, but you know what I mean. It's like a creative person, but they aren't necessarily always really focused on doing the task at hand or whatever. But how does the accountability work? And they know that they're going to meet with you every week and they have to get it done. And none of them have that on their own. Their spouse or their friend or family member don't know what to tell them to do, let alone keep them accountable. They can't give them those action steps. Can you talk a little bit about having action steps every week and taking it a bite at a time? Or do you just completely overwhelm your students, Scott, with everything at once?
Just drop them in the deep end. You know, it's a great question. I do the accountability a little bit different where, and I explained this on the first coaching call, where I don't hold your feet to the fire as much as I'm helping you to keep yourself accountable to your goals. So the way that works, and it works really well, is on the coaching call, they'll tell me what they want to get done by when. And we break it down, so it's very sequential. Some people want the whole enchilada. They want to know what happens after that, after that, after that. Give me the 30,000 foot view. Others say, just give me one thing to work on or two things. It's like, hey, okay, here you go. I might give them, hey, here's your two things to work on. After that, there might be three more, but these are your two priorities. So they would tell me what they want to get done by when. Say, okay, I want to get these two things done by Thursday. I'm like, great. Send me an email Thursday. Let me know that you got them done or where you're at. Friday morning, when I show up and I don't have your email, I'm going to send you an email saying, hey, didn't hear from you. Where are you at? What's going on? And I offer it all caps. I'm yelling at them if they want.
No, you don't do that. Oh my
That's
God.
for, it's free, no extra charge,
Is
but.
there a lot of adjustment? Like sometimes people think, oh, I'm going to get all this done. And then they're like, oh, I can't get that much done. Or they're like, I got that done super quick. Not just with how much they're getting done, but with where their head's at. Do you see an evolution over the many months and longer that your students are with you and you're guiding them through it? I mean, I explain that what we do is called experiential learning. There's no quizzes or tests. You working on your projects is the test. And I find creative people really like to do that. But can you talk a little bit about that evolution of the inventor with like getting into the mix and just like, and talk about from your perspective as a coach how it makes you feel, the good and the bad and the ugly too, you know, the struggles that people go through to get where they need to be.
Yeah, there is an evolution. I think a lot of it has to do with confidence. You know, because they'll come in and it's like, you know, it's all just, you know, they get a lot of information at once. So I can help just distill that down. And I use the analogy, hey, for your first product, it's kind of like you have a machete and you're hacking your way through the woods, creating a trail. After that, you can go back and forth much quicker. So with the first product, you know, you're learning how to do it while you're doing it. So you're kind of doing double duty. Then when we get on to your second product, you've done the training, you got it locked in. And so what people find is that as they're going through, and we talk about, hey, look how far you've come. You've learned all these things, and then they feel good and more confident. But it is about momentum. I think the further along you get, especially when we get close to calling companies, they feel this momentum, maybe a little nervousness, a little, but a lot of excitement and anticipation. So for me, that's where it gets really fun. It's like, okay, you know, I know the steps that I've done to get here. I feel like I could do that again. And even that is light years beyond what most people know, because the world is full of brilliant people with amazing ideas. Problem is they're just not sure what to do with them. So traditional models, okay, you call a patent attorney, maybe you file a patent, maybe you don't. I like the PPA model better. But even if somebody files a full-blown utility patent, like they're asking the patent attorney, what do I do now? I don't know. My part's...
I think our students are different in that they've decided they're willing to do the work. I always say the invention is about 10% of the process, if that, then the 90% of it is all the boring stuff that you make them do. That's required. Any business requires structure, and you're taking creative people that all our students are a wide range, but some of them are very unstructured and very hyper creative, and they'd rather jump to inventing a new product rather than reach out to a company or make a sell sheet or research the internet to find the list of companies. Or, you teach them skills that they can use literally the rest of their life, because we don't really take on students that if a student says, look, I got this one idea and I never want to do this again, we usually won't take them on. They're like, I don't have other ideas right now, but I want to work on other ideas, then we'll take them on. Or I got 100 ideas. It's like, okay, great. Let's focus on one first, then you can work on others. And so, I think they really, really appreciate you because, and it's, they don't really notice it right away necessarily because they're wrapped up in doing stuff that, quite frankly, they don't want to do. But they have to do it in order to be successful. You can't just come up with ideas. You need to show them to companies, right?
Yeah. It's a good point. I do see for those students, the hyper creative, maybe the ADHD type students that need to be kind of changing channels a lot in their mind, which is just kind of how the mind's wired. I think a lot of creatives have that to some, varying degrees. Those guys are a little tougher to like, okay, when you go through this, we need to do everything. We can't just bounce around and skip around to a lot of different ideas because you're going to get really frustrated because you're touching lots of things, but nothing is moving forward very quickly, which is.
How does it make you feel when, I mean, when you help somebody that nobody else really wanted to help, and you see they're a very creative inventor, you're essentially changing their personality and you're rewiring their brain to do things they've literally never done in their life before. We got engineers or others, they've never made, I mean, a lot of what we do is LinkedIn and email, but we do phone calls sometimes too. But they never made a phone call. They never reached out. They're like, I don't do sales. And you explain to them, like, look, you're just showing them your sell sheet. That's doing the selling for you. We got it fixed up. It's really easy to understand in like 5 seconds. You're good, but you need to reach out. So you're getting to do things they didn't think they could do. How does that make you feel? And how does it make them feel when they're like, holy crap, I can't believe I'm doing this? Because people tell us that all the time.
Yeah, it's an amazing feeling, taking someone, especially, and I like some of the people that are a little more of a challenge,
You're very good with those types of inventors, yeah.
I think, figuring it, for me, the interesting part, the fun part is figuring out how do I help this particular person
Right.
based on what they've told me so far and their actions, and I fine tune it as we go. But it's amazing seeing the journey, like you talked about that arc where people come in with a lot of apprehension. And a lot of times on the first call, I get a lot of that information. They're like, I'm going to be really hard because my brain wants to bounce all over the place. So I'm just warning you up front.
Well, that's
It's going to be
great. That's
hard to
great.
keep
That
me focused.
transparency is great, though.
It is.
Yeah.
And it feels awesome to take people like that and work it in a way that allows them to focus on one step at a time,
Right.
doing one thing at a time and zeroing in on that. Then that's behind them. They're on to the next one. Then they feel that momentum that maybe they didn't expect to feel when they came in.
So why are you still an InventRight coach? You're gonna this October, I guess, you're gonna be coming up on 8 years. Is that why? Like, I mean, I know that Stephen and myself and a lot of other people in the company, people tell us how much they appreciate us, like literally every day, because our business is so unique. And I mean, I know my aunt, she's been in business for a long time, and I was telling her that, and she's retired, and she looked at me like I was an alien. She's like, business is nothing but problems and issues, Andrew. That's not, I don't believe you. That's not your business. And I'm like, yeah, that is our business. So that's why I keep doing it. Because it's people appreciate what we're doing and they realize what we're doing is very unique when other people don't want to bother to help a rookie inventor. Why do you keep doing it?
I think that's a big part of it for me. I mean, I love meeting new people. I love helping people. And I love keeping my own pencil sharp too. You know, I feel like being in the environment and being on the forefront of the inventing community helps me stay sharp, focused, latest resources, the latest and greatest everything. I think that's what drives me, is knowing that if I'm helping other people achieve success, it makes me feel successful. I'm also working on my own products too, so it's fun for me, even as a coach, to share some of the things that I've done because I think it's really motivating for them, you know, as well.
Yeah, I think some people don't understand that rush. They think the only rush I need to get is the rush from licensing my own product. But you get a rush from helping people close deals or just hone their skills so that they're off on their own, right?
Yeah. It's an amazing experience taking someone from, you know, that journey from I'm not sure if I can do this or I have no idea what I'm doing to, hey, I just got my first licensing deal. I'm an inventor now. I could do it again. Following.
One last question. I found over the last 25 years, we're going to be celebrating 25 years coming up here real soon,
Wow, that's
of doing
awesome.
InventRight, that it's not always the people that do better that you think. Sometimes, like, it's that experienced business person. And they're a little arrogant. They're not listening as well. And then you get the housewife, and she's just following directions, and she's cranking along, or vice versa. It's not always who you think. Are you surprised sometimes? And should people not second guess themselves so much? Because there's so many people that, like, I think they would. Some of these folks, they would be counted out. Oh, they don't have any background, and they're doing great with it, following the steps with the proper guidance. Have you found that to be true?
For sure. Yeah. I think there are people that come in and they're really apprehensive about it, and maybe they're all over the map in the beginning. I think for a lot of people, I wouldn't surprised. No. I think sometimes some people are just more challenging to work with in that when you get to the point of reaching out to companies, I can tend to get a little more involved. Like, hey, before you send an email, please send it to me so I can look at it first. Maybe they just have never hardly barely used email, or it's just not their thing. So for me, I've seen people license products that they didn't think they could. I knew they could. So it took a lot of sort of training and help for some of those people. But I think the people that I love to watch and help are the ones that have that added that tenacity. I don't want I'm not giving up. I'm going to succeed. And they usually do. I think in general we get what we expect. Good, bad, right, wrong, whatever. I think all of us tend to get what we expect. That's why in the beginning I try to help people frame their expectations as you're going to succeed. We can't guarantee everybody gets a licensing deal, but we can guarantee you're going to get this in front of companies. And I want you to expect to
Ooh,
succeed.
I love that. That's really great, Scott. And to
Yeah.
go back to my earlier question, I can see why you might not be surprised because you're incrementally helping this person. So you're getting to know them, you're getting to know their patterns. So probably surprised is not the right word. If you might be, if you only took a snapshot from that very first call and then saw where they got to, then you might say, "Well, yeah, that one surprised me a bit." Maybe, but you're so incrementally helping them, you kind of know what direction and you're re-guiding them, so there's probably no big surprises after a bit.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's definitely some people where I know on the first coaching call, this is going to be a more colorful ride than
Sure.
others.
And
Just people.
I really appreciate you and all the coaches being so accommodating, and I know Terry, our head coach, has trained you guys to deal with different personality types, different communication skills, different profiles. And you in particular really go above and beyond to accommodate their personality. You're very good at that, Scott. You're probably one of the best at seeing the personality and being very accommodating. I think because you've been a teacher for so long, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's just your personality. But.
It's interesting. That's part of the job and the career that I really like. I like people, and I like kind of getting inside their head a little bit and figuring out what I've always been fascinated with, what makes people tick. Why
Right.
is that person successful and that person's not? They look the same. What's the difference?
Right. So what are you saying, Scott? You're experimenting on our students? I'm gonna make them successful. Shame on you.
I have the white lab coat and like beakers of things boiling off to the sides that you can't see. No, I think for me it's what keeps it interesting too, just the different personality types and figuring out what motivates people. That's why on the first coaching call I always ask, hey, if you could wave a magic wand and create the perfect coach for you, what would that look like? I know that's super open-ended, but
Well, and I think
I get a
that's what
lot
we've always, we're very understanding. Not everybody is receptive to inventors that are a little bit off here or there. All inventors aren't. Some are, some aren't, some are just, but we accept everybody, you know, as long as they're willing to do the work, right? If you just have ideas and you don't want to do any work, don't sign up with InventRight. We can't help you. Can't help somebody that doesn't want to help themselves. You
For
know,
sure.
when we're going to give them guidance. But I think we're very, very open-minded to all different types of inventors. And all inventors are not the same, right? I mean, they're all so different. People have these stereotypes, and it's just not true.
Yeah, you say inventor, and a lot of times people do think, oh, white lab coat, crazy hair, beakers of stuff boiling, and
Right,
like
that's
doctor.
not what most inventors are.
No, I think we're ultimately, I think all humans are inventors. We all have creativity. Even if we get a lot of people like, I'm just not that creative. It's like, that's
Right,
just a
they are. They're
story.
just suppressing
So
it.
yeah, it's in there. We just got to bring it out.
Right. And we don't got a big problem with that. Most of our folks coming up with ideas is not a problem. It's executing them and licensing them. But some people still struggle with that. We get an occasional student can't come up with a second idea. We know how to handle that too. But anyway, Scott, I want to thank you, man, for your 8 years of service. Sounds like you're in the military or something. thank you for your 8 years of service, Scott. Scott Putnam is a great coach. Thank you for giving people an inside look and also some insights on. I think a lot of people listening to this, they're like, it was nice hearing that they're not the only ones with these same concerns, that it's normal to have some of these concerns we discussed, and that we can help. And hey, if we're not helping, find somebody else to help. But get some help, because it's hard to do this on your own. But once you learn the skills, it's something you can totally do on your own, but you need that experience, that life experience first. So.
Yeah, and not venturing down a lot of expensive rabbit holes because you
Oh
weren't sure
God, yeah.
the direction to go. And
That's
I've
a
been
whole
there.
nother show. I'll invite you back to do it. We
Okay.
could do a whole show on that, couldn't we? All the
Yeah.
expensive rabbit holes that I'm gonna write that down actually. All the expensive rabbit holes that inventors can go down and how to avoid them. I'm gonna invite you back for another show. I'm waving my finger at you, going, yes, we're gonna do
Know.
that.
I'm getting flashbacks from when you coached me. I'm just
No,
kidding.
seriously, I'm gonna put that down. We're gonna do that show, okay?
That sounds good. I'd
All
love
right.
it, man.
Okay. All right. I want to remind everybody to take care, keep inventing, and we'll catch up with you guys next time. See you guys.
Thanks,
Bye.
guys.
Okay, you've got this great idea and you need a little help, and we're going to help you. We're going to give away $25,000 in prizes to help you license your ideas to companies at InventRight. So how does this all work? It's pretty simple. Once we hit 100,000 subscribers on our channel, we're going to run a contest and show you how to win some of our programs. So what are we giving away? First of all, we're giving away two of our premium programs. That's where you get a personal coach that's going to guide you each week for you to license your product ideas. They're going to be behind the scenes to make sure you're doing everything right, to make sure your marketing material is spectacular, making sure you protect your ideas correctly, and making sure you're reaching out to those companies and saying the right thing. And then once there's interest, We have a coach that's going to come in and help behind the scenes you negotiate that licensing agreement so it's fair and balanced. All right, so what's the second prize? Well, the second prize is three Gateway programs. What's Gateway? Hey, it's real simple. Gateway is where we at InventRight handle everything for you. We're going to find the companies, find the right people, and make sure your product is pitched correctly to get that licensing deal. So all these prizes, the two premiums and the three gateways, it adds up to over $25,000 in prizes to you. So how does this all work? It's really quite simple. All you have to do, subscribe down below if you haven't already. And once we hit 100,000 subscribers before the end of the year, we're going to run a contest and we're going to give away those prizes to help you license your product ideas.